NPR's Alex Chadwick is off on his latest National Geographic radio expedition, this time to Mali in West Africa. Yesterday, he was in the fabled old trade city of Timbuktu. Today, he's heading on, deep into the Sahara, along an ancient route still used by camel caravans, in a tradition that's at least 1,000 years old.
The desert keeps shifting color and texture. Ashy grays, browns, yellows. Sometimes it's rocky, sometimes it's fertile, with scrub grasses.
We've come about 70 miles north of Timbuktu to a place where there's a well, and at the well, there's a herd of camel, there's also goats, there's some donkeys around. There are these camel herders, young boys, most of them, 12, 13, 14, and they're hauling water up from the well. That's that creaking sound you're hearing. It's an old wooden pulley. There's one camel headed off across the next dune, and he's got a rope back to this pulley, and the water's coming up.
There is no road to get here, just a track in the sand that led out of Timbuktu, and it soon disappeared. There are no mountains, no rivers, no forests, no towns to see, nothing you or I could use to mark the way. But caravan men read the sand and the wind. One of them at the well spoke English.
My name is Tabala.
Tabala. How long have you been out on this caravan here? 18 days.
18 days, yeah, exactly.
Tabala is with two other men and about 30 camels, each animal loaded with 400 pounds of goods for market in Timbuktu. The camels walk steadily to get there, and the men walk beside them.
How far do you walk every day?
45 kilometers for a day.
45 kilometers, 30 miles, almost every day for a month in the desert, and some of the men are barefoot.
Is it hard to be in the caravan?
Very hard.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why do you do it?
Salt.
Salt, he said. That's what the camels are carrying. Salt. In the Sahara, caravans still go 500 miles north from Timbuktu to where miners chop salt slabs from a desert site called Taudani that's 1,000 years old. Salt is so common now, we forget it was basic to the development of trade. Precious as gold. The word salary comes from the ancient salt business. We are going to the salt mines. Blissfully, our own caravan is five small trucks with four hired guards and one big machine gun to discourage bandits. We drive for hours and stop for short breaks.
We're standing here recording wind by a little shelter here, and a man comes riding out of nothing, out of the horizon, on his camel, kind of trotting past, and just goes past us. And what this man is doing, I don't know. Oh my gosh. Behind him, 100 camels. There's a caravan coming.
Not a caravan, as it turns out. That's why he's riding instead of walking. He's a camel herder with his animals.
They walk with this precision. A camel steps so quietly, its legs working so elegantly, so precisely, almost like a model on a runway. So delicately, they put one foot forward in front of the other and just move along completely quietly, very gracefully on the landscape.
On the second day out, we come to a village, Arawak. At first, it looks abandoned. A couple of dozen low buildings, a mosque, all mud brick and mud plaster, and scattered kind of randomly across a great wind-protected bowl in the desert. I'm trying to think why it's vaguely familiar, and I recall the desert town in Star Wars.
When I'm here, I feel that we are at the edge of the world, and it's always, always, always a big emotion.
A former priest, Roberto Seria, is now a guide for visitors in this region.
One thing you see is the power of the sand, for example, because the sand keeps moving. So the power of the desert, the power of the dunes, the power of the sand, but at the same time also the power of the people. They have been living here for centuries and adapting themselves to this very, very difficult environment.
It seems impossible that anyone would live here, but desert people do, figures robed like ghosts. And now an anthropologist friend, Wade Davis, is talking with one of them, a woman, sitting in the sand by the doorway of her home.
I'd like to ask her about the sands of Erawan.
Our guide, Roberto, is also the interpreter.
She was born here, she grew up here, she has never been elsewhere apart from in Erawan.
Wade Davis is beginning a project he calls the Ethnosphere, to survey and call attention to traditions that have endured for many centuries, but may be disappearing now.
And even when she was a little girl, like her own daughters and granddaughters, does she remember the sand doing the same thing, sweeping over the desert, sweeping over the houses?
Literally, since the time she had the eyes open, she had always seen the sand and the wind like this.
This caravan town that few outsiders know is at least 1,000 years old. But the world really does change, even here.
Was the village of Erawan larger when she was a little girl? Were there more people, more commerce?
When she was a little girl, the village was larger, bigger, and more people were living here.
Maybe camel caravans just don't make sense anymore. Maybe they'll be lost. And Erawan, too. Wade Davis jots observations in a notebook.
We came over the ridge and saw what, by any aesthetic definition, was an oasis of desolation. I mean, here's this woman who told us that not only does she spend her every day literally shoveling the sand away from the door of her house, but that's all she can remember ever having done. Her mother did that. Her mother's mother, who also lived there, did that. This is her way of life, getting up in the morning and trying to shovel the Sahara away.
Day 3, 200 miles behind us. The afternoon sun diffuses through sand haze and gray overcast, and the edge of the earth seems to glow like a narrow band of light. No wonder people see visions. The desert here is entirely a landscape of red sand, a perfect continuous line at the horizon. Nothing interrupts it, nothing measures it. 10 miles away, or 1 mile, sometimes it looks like 50 feet, or maybe I can touch it with my fingertips. In the desert light, I can't tell anymore. We'll reach the salt mines tomorrow. For Radio Expeditions, this is Alex Chadwick, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and the National Geographic Society. Alex has pictures from Erawan at npr.org.